everyone. We started this series last week, The Devil and His Lies, and we looked at truth. What is truth? Truth is reality. And Jesus says, I am the truth. And the Word of God gives us instructions on the truth. And Sandy talked about the Holy Spirit walking us, walking with us, leading us on that truth. So I'm going to pray as we start. Lord, I ask that you help our hearts, our eyes, our ears be attentive to you tonight. And Lord, as Dorothy prayed, we need to be alert but not afraid. So God, we thank you that we get to talk about this tonight. And I ask that you will speak truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk about tonight, how did Jesus make sense of the devil? All right, I'm going to go straight into it. So number one, Jesus acknowledged the devil's existence. Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Jesus says to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So there is clearly an evil one. Some of us Christians, we believe God exists, of course, otherwise you wouldn't be a Christian. But we don't believe that the enemy, the devil, exists. This is actually one of the first lies that the enemy wants you to believe, that he doesn't exist. Why is that? In order to win a war, you need to know who your enemy is. If you don't know who your enemy is, you get battered left, right, center, and you just die. Well, you won't, but, you know, you need to know who your enemy is, and you need to fight smart. You need to know his tactics. And knowing your enemy is half the war won. So it's important that we know that there is an enemy. C.S. Lewis said this, I love it. There are two equal and opposite errors into which we can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence, and the other is to believe, oh yes, and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. Both are bad. Okay, so let's not be either side. Let us be alert, but not afraid and not excessively interested. Come back to the Lord's Prayer. How did it start? Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means may you be worshipped. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus acknowledged him last. Okay? So our focus is on our Father in heaven, and we just need to know that he exists, okay? The enemy exists. Number two, Jesus says, the enemy wants to destroy us. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. We need to know the enemy's purpose, the enemy's plan. And his plan is to steal, kill, and destroy you and me. So great. He wants to steal from us our purpose. God made you with a great purpose in mind of loving God and loving others and showing God's glory. He wants to steal that from us. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our freedom. We are meant to walk in freedom. He wants to steal that so that we are bound. He wants to steal our calling. Sure, are you sure God wants you to do that? I don't think so. I mean, look at you. Like, seriously. He wants to steal our best life, the full life that Jesus comes to give. But what did Jesus say? I have come to give you life and life to the full. All right? So we need to know what the devil wants to do with us. Number three, it just gets better. Jesus says that the devil is powerful. All right, Jesus talked about the devil here. He says, let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Jesus likened the devil to a strong man. But I love the buts in the Bible. Everyone say but. But. Say it like you mean it. But. Yes, I love the buts in the Bible. I really do. We mustn't be naive. We mustn't think that the devil is this little caricature with two horns and a, you know, and we mustn't be naive. He is powerful. But my Jesus is much more powerful. He can go and tie up the enemy and plunder his house. All right? Number four. Okay, now it gets good. All right? Jesus is victorious over the devil. Just read the Gospels. Just read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will see Jesus casting out demons left, right, center. Okay? What more can I say about this? And then, when Jesus had called the 12 together, so his disciples, Jesus had taught them, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he sent them out to do that, and they came back. It was great. And then Jesus, did you know that Jesus had more than 12 disciples? Now he sent out 72 and to do the same. And when the 72 returned, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Everyone say, in your name. So we need not fear, because in his name, demons flee. Jesus defeated the devil's temptation by standing on God's word. Did you know that Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days? Jesus was fasting and, okay, let's read it. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Note how Jesus replied. Jesus answered, it is written. He was quoting the Old Testament, the Bible. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Full stop. All right. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now the devil's quoting the Bible. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Again, how did Jesus answer? Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Third time, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you. He said, if you will bow down and worship me. Again, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. We need to ground ourselves in God's word, because Jesus himself resisted the enemy using God's word. We need to read God's word. We need to meditate on God's word. We need to memorize God's word. We need to obey God. No point quoting, yeah, if you're not going to obey it, right? You need to know your weaknesses. I know my weaknesses. Whatever your weaknesses are, specific temptations, anxiety, depression, anger, whatever it is, find scriptures that speak into those. Keep them in your back pocket. I put them in a chat group with myself in my phone. And whenever the lies come, you quote them and you stand on them and you believe them. If you need help finding these verses, speak to a leader. We would love to journey with you there. We overcome the devil not by using inspirational quotes from social media. The devil is not going to run away by you showing him a TikTok reel. Okay? Word of God. When the devil tempts us, we overcome by declaring and believe God's word. Number five. Now, this is very important, okay? Jesus didn't engage with the devil and his minions. Jesus didn't actually allow demons to talk. He didn't want testimony from them, and he didn't want to talk to them. He didn't want to engage them. It says here, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Each time the demons talk to Jesus, Jesus doesn't engage with them. Just minimal engagement. We too should not engage with the devil. No point. Don't. Okay? Because the devil loves it. He loves attention. That's his problem, right? He wants the attention. If we give him all the attention, it's good. We're not paying attention to God. Okay? So don't. In casting demons out or in resisting the enemy, no need to have a full-on conversation with him. Just cast him out in Jesus' name, resist him in Jesus' name, stand on God's word. That's all the engagement you need. What does other engagements with the devil look like? I've prayed hard. If I should share this, I will. Dabbling with the occult, horoscopes, tarot cards, Ouija boards, fortune-telling, psychics, etc. As a child, I was dedicated to a goddess. And in my teenage years, I dabbled in all the occultic stuff I could find. I watched all the horror movies. I did all manner of things to engage with ghosts, to see them, to connect with them. I did Ouija boards, I did horoscopes, tarot cards weren't in yet, so I didn't do that, didn't know about them. As a teenager, I was unhappy, depressed, angry, and I had this lower back pain. As a teenager, you know, just this lower back pain, really bad, all the time. I could not submit to authority, not to my parents, not to the school, not to police. I was just so angry. All the time, I would bash things, I would break things, I would bash people. It's all awful. Rage would consume me and control me. Even after I bashed everything, it wasn't enough. I just wanted to bash more. And then I encountered the amazing love of Jesus. And I felt peace and wholeness for the first time. And I gave my life to Jesus and I followed him. And after that, I just love worshiping God. I just love singing to him, worshiping him, being in his presence. But whenever we would get into deep encounter with God in worship, particularly there was this song I remember, "Take Me Into the Holy of Holies." I could never sing that song. There was something in me that was going to explode. And it just was awful. And I would run out. I would go into the bathroom and I would scream. A few months after I came to faith, during a worship and prayer session, someone prayed for me. And oh, whatever was in me was not happy. It was fighting for its life and fighting me, tormenting my body. So the leaders came and they prayed for me. They were casting the evil spirit out of me. And it's all very dramatic. Years, years of dabbling in the occult and having been dedicated to a goddess. In the name of Jesus, the evil spirit left me. I remember distinctly the feeling of when it left me. My back pain immediately left me. The anger started to dissipate within me. I learned to submit to authority. I could worship God without feeling like something was going to explode in me. I was set free in Jesus' name. I felt free. Anger was no longer my master. Jesus is my Lord. Everyone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it like you mean it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to also tell you something because I don't want you to have get discouraged when it happens to you in different ways. The deliverance actually took 20 minutes. The spirit in me was fighting it. Sometimes when we cast out demons or war with the devil using God's word, so we have all these thoughts in our head and we're like standing on God's word, it doesn't go away immediately. It takes time. We need to persist. We don't stop. Jesus himself quoted God's word at the enemy how many times? 3 times before the enemy left him. Sometimes when we cast demons out, it happens immediately. Sometimes it takes time. But in all my experience with deliverance ministry and with what the Bible says, Jesus always, always, always wins. We persist. So come back to this. Do not go and engage with the enemy unnecessarily, paying him too much attention or dabbling in the occult. He loves the attention. But let's not do that. Let's give God our attention, because the enemy only wants to steal, kill, and destroy. If you have dabbled in occultic practices, ask God to forgive you and stop doing it. The leaders here would love to pray for you, and you don't need to be afraid, because Jesus has won the victory over the enemy. All right? Number 6. Here, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders who claimed to follow God, but they weren't actually following God. Jesus said to them, really harsh words, he said, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from God, and I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Not everyone will go through dramatic stuff like me, okay? Remember, I opened up myself completely in all those occultic practices. I was dedicated to a God. So that's not going to happen to you unless, you know. But for all of us, this is the devil's main tactic. All of us. Even as I was sitting there, getting ready to come and speak, even as I'm speaking now, the lies, it's like, what business have you got telling these things? You are ridiculous. The enemy's lies, all right? The devil lies to us today and all the time. And not only that, he knows your weaknesses, he knows my weaknesses, and he tailors his lies to our weaknesses. So annoying. So why should we be aware of this? Remember, to win the war, we need to know our enemy, all right? So how do we overcome this? How did Jesus overcome the enemy? TikTok reels? God's word, right? So how do we overcome the... Are you guys awake? It's like, yeah. All right. So how do we overcome the enemy? God's word. I want to address some common lies, okay? And I might shock some of you with some of the... maybe just first one. First one, you are enough. Believe in yourself. That is a very inspirational quote on social media. Like, you just believe in yourself. You are enough. It is a lie. Because this lie tells us to rely on ourselves. This lie tells us that we don't need to rely on God. And this was the original lie the devil told Eve, that she could be like God. You don't need God. But we all know, no matter how strong, how amazing we are, we fail, don't we? We sin, don't we? And we definitely can't save ourselves and give ourselves eternal life. All right? The truth is, the Bible says, truth, this is the word of truth, says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I have sinned, you have sinned, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not enough. And it says in Isaiah, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." Sound terrible, doesn't it? But it is the truth. We are not enough. But, everybody say, but. Say it like you mean it, but. You need to know your buts, you know, in God's word. Otherwise, how are you going to refute the enemy? So, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." His power is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships. Do you delight in these things? In persecutions, in difficulties? It means that these things would happen too. For when I am weak, then I am strong in Him. So, on our own, we are not enough. Don't believe that lie anymore. But with Jesus, we are more than enough. All right? Hallelujah. Number two, nobody loves you. Nobody loves you. Look at you. Have you believed this before? Okay. You feel too shy to nod. I nod for you. Yes, nobody loves you. And what did God say? What did God say? I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Does God love you with this flimsy conditional love? Do this and I'll love you, do that and I'll leave you? No. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, with kindness that is unfailing, no matter how stinky you are. Okay? We can continue to believe God's lie, the devil's lie, that nobody loves us, or we can choose to believe God's truth. All right? You can choose to believe the enemy, or you can choose to believe God's truth. That's the difference between bondage and freedom. All right? Next lie. This is so fun, isn't it? You have so much sin. Other people can't see, but God sees. And He is shaking His head at you. Oh, my word. You call yourself a Christian? I saw you at church lifting up your hands. How many of us have believed that one? What does God's word say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Just because Jesus has taken our sin to the cross and He has suffered the consequences. And God will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What's the condition? If we confess our sins. And what does He do? He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from a little bit of righteous unrighteousness. Is that what God's word says? He will purify us of some. That one too big, maybe not. No, all unrighteousness. And I love this. It says in Isaiah, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me with a robe of righteousness. Righteousness means to be right, to live right, to do right. Jesus is righteous. When He took our sin, when we confess, He takes our sin and then He takes His righteousness and He puts it over us. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. Say amen if you like jewels. That's what God's word says. Confess your sin and that's all yours. Don't listen to the enemy, okay? Don't believe him. I can listen to him because he's always annoying, but don't believe him, all right? Next one. Look at all the bad things happening to you. God is not good. He doesn't love you. This is a big one. This is a very big one. It says in the Bible, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, that is a but, okay? Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Through all that yuck, He loves you. He's never stopped loving you. And then continues in chapter 8, verse 28, we know that in all things, God works for those who love Him. If you love Him, He takes what happens in you and works it out for good. If you love Him and called according to His purpose. So, does God still love you when bad things happen to you? More than ever. He loves you and He will take those stuff if you let Him and turn it into good. Next one. Why pray? Do you really think your prayer makes any difference? The Bible says, because He bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. And remember, when you confess your sin and Jesus takes your sin and He drapes you with righteousness, you're righteous, yeah? So what does the Bible say about a righteous person? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Are you going to believe that? Only Toby believes that. Are you going to believe that? Yeah. Don't believe the enemy. Your prayer doesn't hit the ceiling and dissipate, okay? Last one. Don't share Jesus with others. They don't want to hear it. Actually, they do. There are statistics showing that people actually do want you to talk to them. But what does the Bible says? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. The next time the enemy whispers in your head, don't share Jesus with others. They'll think you're an idiot. Then you say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Stand on God's word. Okay? So there are two equal and opposite errors into which we can fall about the devils. One, disbelief. Second is belief, but to have an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. Know that the devil wants to destroy you, and he is powerful, but my Jesus is much, 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 much more powerful than he has already overcome anyway. And you are hidden in Jesus. Do you know that? When the devil sees you, he sees Jesus. The devil tells you lies, you counter it with God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Does it say be strong in yourself? Believe in yourself. You can do this. No. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What happened in Sydney? All the wars, all the relationship breakdown. It's not people fighting people. It's the enemy causing havoc. We need to know that as Christians. So we don't go fight people. We fight the spiritual war by standing on God's word. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand. That's it. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Who is truth? What is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. Have Jesus hold up your pants, okay? Have Jesus hold you together. I'm not wearing a belt, I don't need to, but have Jesus hold you together. Hold on to Jesus like your dear life. Hold on to the belt of truth, that's Jesus. With the breastplate of righteousness, well, actually the belt holds itself together, so you don't need to really stress about it. You have Jesus, you let Jesus hold you, right? Good. All right. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, what are you covered in? Jesus's righteousness. Let that cover your chest because the enemy hits your heart with guilt. You dirty, stinking sinner. No, I'm a forgiven child of God. All right. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This war is not all about defending myself. This war is about going and spreading love, spreading peace, spreading the good news of Jesus always be ready to share God's peace and good news of Jesus with others. I'm always so amazed by families who are battling cancer. They're in hospital, they're in Ronald McDonald House, and what do? They share the good news. We had someone pass away last week, and we were at his funeral. And he had been a witness in the hospital to the staff. And when one of the staff came and said, "What's your goal of care?" He says, "For all to know Christ." Thank you. Be ready always to share God's peace and God's good news. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith. What's that shield made of? Faith. Faith is saying, "I believe in Jesus. I believe in what Jesus says." That's it. It's not very complicated. With which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It says in James 4:7, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil. Pull up your shield of faith and say, "No, I believe in Jesus. You get out of here." Resist it. I was talking to a young person this week, and they said they keep getting these negative thoughts in their heads that they know didn't come from God. And I said, "So what do you do when that happens?" "I ignore the thoughts." I was like, "Don't ignore them. Resist them. Hold up your shield of faith. Nah, I reject that in Jesus' name. I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to let you play around in my head." All right? Take the helmet of salvation. Put on a helmet. The helmet of salvation. You are saved and you are safe. Know that. Know that you are saved and you are safe. Don't let the enemy keep putting these lies in your head. Resist them. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is when we need to know God's Word. You don't need to know the whole book, okay? It takes a long time to know the whole book. But talk to your leaders. There will be truth in there. And read your Bible. Allow God's truth to guide you. And when the enemy attacks you, hold up your shield of faith. Take out your sword of the Spirit. He has no chance. All right? Let me pray for you. God, what can seem like such a hopeless topic is so full of hope because of what you have done, Jesus, because of who you are. It's not because of who we are or what we've done. It's because of who you are and what you have done. I pray, I want to speak into your children here tonight. And I was praying. I just feel that so many of us live under so many lies of the enemy, and we allow the lies of the enemy to debilitate us, to tranquilize us, that we think we are victims. We can't rise above. Lord, I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you will just do a deep work in each heart. That God, yes, we may seem hard pressed, but we are not crushed. So I pray tonight that, Lord, we will choose to believe in faith what your word says. We will choose to walk by faith in what your word says and not by sight of what we see, Lord God. And I resist the work of the enemy among this congregation, people watching online and people here. I resist the work of the enemy. And Father, I thank you that I can do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Say amen if you agree. Amen.